Somebody there, praise the Lord. What a great congregation. And the Lord lifts you higher. Do greater things in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Your Royal Majesty. We do appreciate not just the cooperation, the unity, the support that you have for your Father in the Lord and for GCK and for Deeper Life Bible Church and Deeper Christian Life Ministry. And we pray that what God has done and beyond what God has done in other places, the Lord will do here in our land.
Yeah.
And for all the chief people, children of the nation, the chief land, everywhere, I welcome you specially. And this money, as we join our hearts together, the blessings of God will flow and reach you everywhere you are.
Amen.
And for all our audience all over the globe, it's a joy to serve you. And as long as I live, I'll be your servant in the Lord, bringing revelation of the Lord unto you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you at this time and bless your name. We pray that you will empower everyone today and make us to be what we ought to be. Make us to do everything you have appointed. We will do for your glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for the answer. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Another amen.
Amen.
The Lord has blessed you. You can sit down. We're looking at 2 Kings chapter 2. And we're reading verse 9. Just verse 9. We want to look at the word of God very briefly and talk about exceeding previous limits of life and ministry. It supposes that this is not your first time of hearing the word of God, and this is not the beginning of ministry for you, probably for most of us, because we're talking of exceeding previous limits. Whatever we have reached, whatever we have done, the Lord is going to take you higher. It'll brighten your vision. You'll see farther in Jesus' name. It will strengthen your backbone and you will stand longer in Jesus' name. It will sharpen your mind and you will think higher and deeper in Jesus' name. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2. We're reading from verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask. Stop there for a moment. The word ask. Here, it's Elisha that was commanded, ask. Now, when you look at the people who made history and the people who made a significant contribution to their nation and to the world, it's this word, ask. Did you hear? Jesus paid it all. And because Jesus paid it all, what does that mean to me? He paid everything that needs to be done for my salvation, for your salvation. And so now, ask. Jesus paid it all, everything God requires for your sanctification, for your holiness. therefore ask. Jesus paid it all for the power of heaven to come upon your life. Therefore ask. Jesus paid it all for everything you need to be healed. Therefore ask. Jesus paid it all, that Satan will not be your director, will not be your controller, and Satan will not keep on oppressing you. And because he paid it all, ask. In fact, Jesus paid it all for you. He's made a way to get to heaven. He's made the pathway, and there's no blockage in the way, and there is no hold up in that way. There is no accident in that way. There's no traffic jam in the way. He is the way and the truth and the life. And because he's made the way for you to get to heaven, therefore ask. Jesus paid it all the grace you will ever need available. Therefore, as Jesus paid it all to come and bring you and bring the love of God to you. Therefore, as Jesus paid it all, everything you need for life and ministry. Therefore, as and Elisha was told, ask, but I don't want to limit you to Elisha, because many people, when they are told, ask, they only think about Elisha. But Abraham had the opportunity. Abraham, what are you going to ask? Sodom and Gomorrah was about to perish. And Sodom and Gomorrah, they were very terrible, sinful, corrupt. And Abraham had the chance and the privilege, ask. And Abraham came near to God and said, God, if you see 50 righteous people there in the land, will you not spare them? He was not even asking anything for himself. He wanted the preservation and the conservation and the forgiveness for the whole of Nineveh, for the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, well, Abraham, what you have asked me, if I see 50 people there righteous, I'll spare them. How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? And Abraham supposed that God will find 10 righteous people there, and then he sealed up. He could have been asking and asking and asking more, because when God wanted to destroy Israel as a whole nation, the whole nation had gone very bad. They had gone into idolatry and corruption. And even God himself told Moses, he said, Moses, leave me alone. Let me deal with them. And Moses came nearer. He was going to ask. And he was asking for the preservation of the nation. And God said, Moses, you know what? I can start all over again with you. I will make you a great nation instead of the nation of Israel. And most people, if they are self-centered, most people, if it's only me, they are asking for, they say, that's all right. You're going to make me great and a great nation. You're going to fulfill the promise you gave to Abraham. You're going to fulfill that in me. That's all right, God. But Moses said, no, I'm not asking for personal greatness for myself, for my family, for my children. I'm asking that you count this nation bad, wayward, backsliding, and corrupt. All the same, forgive them. That was what Moses asked for. And the question comes to you today, what are you asking? Now, Joshua knew the life of Moses, and he knew what Moses had asked. In his own case, Joshua, you have the chance to, and you have the privilege you can ask. And Joshua said, Lord, I'm in this battle to give victory to the nation. And you said, every place the sole of my foot shall tread upon, that you have given to me. And the sun is going down. I am asking that that sun will stop there, so that I have enough daylight to finish the battle. Ask. And Caleb came near. And Caleb had his own requirement here, or his request. And he said, it's this mountain I'm asking for. Give me the strength. At this age, the age when other people were looking at him and saying, Caleb, hand over to the younger people. You're already at this age. Hand over. He said, no, I want the power and the strength and the courage and the stamina to take this mountain. And you see, when you come before the Lord, if you're limited in understanding, it's going to limit what you ask for. And you'll forget about your whole family. When you are asking, you'll forget about your whole tribe. When you are asking, you'll forget about the whole nation. When you are asking, you'll join the people who criticize the nation. You'll be among the people who criticize the leadership, the government of the nation. And Abraham could have done that, Sodom, Gomorrah, so bad and so corrupt. But no, he was asking, what are you asking? Are you asking that God will kill so-and-so, destroy so-and-so, and you feel justified? Because see what they are doing, who are the they? We make the nation, if anything is bad, we contribute to the condition. And as we come to the Lord, he says, ask. And Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And he goes on, and then again, near the end of his ministry, he said, hitherto you have asked me nothing. And he says, ask, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I will give unto you. You know, he's always telling us, not only Elisha, and not only in this situation, every time, and this morning we come, ask, it shall be given unto you. But remember, you must ask beyond the way you used to ask. You must pray beyond the level you used to pray, because today we're looking at exceeding the previous limits of life and ministry. Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee. This is what I'm asking. I plead with you. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. But why did Elisha need a double portion of the spirit on Elisha? Not to brag on Elijah, not to brag, not to boast, not to say, see who I am, see what I can do, and see what I have. No, he wanted, as Elijah had been of great benefit to the preservation of the nation, his own nation, Israel, because it was the rain stopped for 3.5 years, ministry of Elijah. And then when he prayed again, the rain came back. A period of fruitfulness came back again. He said, that's what I want. If there is famine, if there is problem, if there's devastation, if there's destruction upon our land, I want a double portion of your spirit that will give me a double assurance. Elijah, I know that every time when you stand before Ahab, you say, there'll be no rain or dew according to my word. And that kind of assurance you have, I want a double assurance. That's what he's saying, that your spirit will so come upon me in a double measure, that I have double assurance. That when all those prophets of Baal, when they cry, fire, 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 but no fire came down, then you came and you say, okay, since you spoke into your God and your God could not answer, step aside. And he pushed them aside, and what he did, he repaired the altar of the Lord. And he did that with knowledge and conviction. He said, I see that when you repair the altar, you did it according to the word of the Lord. I need a double portion of the knowledge, of the insight you have that is given by the Spirit. That's what he meant. And then when eventually he had arranged everything and he prayed, he said, Lord, convince the children of Israel, I have done this according to your word. Everything you did, Elijah, mentor, master, you did according to his word. I want that same consistency. I want that same steadfastness, a double portion. And eventually, when you said, Father, God, in heaven, and you prayed, it didn't take time and the fire came down. And I want through me that there will be a double fire of revival coming upon the land at my own time in my ministry. So when you read that Elisha said, let a double portion of the Spirit of God come upon me. You understand? The Spirit of God is a person. It's a He. When He comes, He will reveal unto you. Now, if He is a person, how do you double a person? It's the doubling of His influence, the doubling of His power, the doubling of His assurance, and the doubling of His revelation. The Spirit of God remains the Spirit of God. We're thinking about Jesus is the same, the same. You can't double His stature, you cannot double His height, but you can double His miracles, you can double His revelation. That's what it means. Let a double portion of thy Spirit, a double power, a double assurance, and a double confidence and trust, a double faith be upon my life. It is when that happens, will exceed the previous limits of life and ministry. Look at three things. Number one, burning the bridge behind before burning for God. Look at number two. Number two is bonding with the benefactor for his baptism from God. Number three is blessings for beneficiaries beyond the borders through God. Look at number one. Number one is burning the bridge behind before burning for God. And we were using Elisha as a model, as an example, not at the final limit, because others came after Elisha. And Jesus came in the new covenant and he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. You don't want to make the mistake of limiting yourself to Elisha, then you can move on. You will move on in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, burning the bridge behind. Elisha had something he was doing already. And he was a successful professional farmer. In his days when mechanized farming had not become the order of the day. In his days when individual farmers will go to their farm and use the hoe and the cutlass all by themselves. And they will sweat and sweat and they'll not cover much ground each day. Elisha already had oxen and he had all the things they use that they'll do to plow, to cultivate, to plant, and to reap. Yet, he knew as Elijah came to him and threw a mantle on him, his mantle, he knew that the future is going to be greater than the past. And do you know that your future will be greater than your past? Whatever you have done, whatever you have achieved, whatever you have accomplished, a greater day is coming on your way. And it will come in Jesus' name. But you knew this utensil, or this tool, or this instrument that I've been using and cultivating, I've come to love it so much, like the writer loves his pen, like the media person loves his gadgets, like the people who have things they use, they love that, and it's part of their lives. He knew that what he was using was already part of his life. If he followed Elijah and left that thing there, his mind will be coming back to that. And every time he saw that, he'll be saying, can I pick that up again? That was the mistake of Peter. You know the mistake? The Lord called him. He let the net, but he didn't leave it to throw it away. He still put it somewhere. And he knew where to find it whenever he wanted to find it. And when Jesus Christ died and rose again, and Peter thought, can I move on? I denied him three times. Can I move on? I said I didn't know him. Is he still going to use me? When he thought that life had come to its climax and end, so he told the other people, I go a fishing, and he still had the net. Understand that. He knew where to find the net. That is what Elisha wanted to avoid, so that when he burns them up, there will not be an occasion where he will say, I can go back to that thing again. That the reason for burning the bridge behind before. You can burn for God. Look at three things here. Number one is burning the bridge that connects us with former encumbrances. Think about your past life and think about the former encumbrances that engaged you. The connection, you must break that connection. Number two is building the bridge that conveys us to the future engagements. The future engagements, you build that bridge. You burn the other one that connects you to the past. And now you build the one that connects you to the future. Number three is breaking down barriers that caught many from fulfilled enlistment, from fruitful enlistment. Look at number one there. Number one is burning the bridge that connects us with former encumbrances. And that's what Elisha did. And you're looking at 1 Kings chapter 9. Chapter 19, thank you. Chapter 19, verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go, Return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Azazel to be king of Syria. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, so he departed, and when he departed thence, and for he went forth, and he saw Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him, and Elijah cast his mantle upon him. I'm sure you've heard this story before, but the point is this mantle that he cast upon Elisha, he didn't give Elisha that mantle at that time, just cast it on him. Have a feel of the power, have a sensing out of the power, and Elijah held to that mantle. He must follow first before the mantle will become his. Everything the Lord shows us, and he casts the mantle upon us now. Now, he doesn't give us immediately, and we're told Elisha took the step and followed after him on and on for years. In fact, the second king says he was pouring water upon his hand, but the mantle was not transferred to him immediately, and Elisha was not in a hurry. He knew the power I felt when that mantle came upon me will be mine eventually. It will be yours. But you must be patient. You must follow on step after step. And the day eventually came when Elijah was taken up by the chariot sent from heaven. And Elisha cried, my father, that mantle, that was the moment. The mantle now fell from Elijah. And Elisha knew, that's mine, that's yours, it will be yours. And he picked it up, that same mantle that struck him at the beginning, which was not handed over to him. Now Elijah is gone, and after the prayer, give me a double portion of your spirit, he took that mantle, and when he got to River Jordan, I'm telling, because you know the story already, he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smote that River Jordan, it parted. The Lord, the presence and the power of the Lord that was with Elijah had now come upon Elisha. Every good thing you have seen in every good minister you appreciate will eventually come up in your own ministry. You'll have it in Jesus' name. And look at verse 20 here. In verse 20, it says, so he led the oxen. You must be willing to get detached from the past. You're used to that habitually. Every day you'll be using that. The time comes in your life when God calls you to higher service, greater service, and the things you have been hooked to, the thing you have been joined to, you have freedom now to make a choice and to decide, I leave that so I can have this. He led the oxen and he ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Well, since you know the story, I'll just tell you this. It was like he was to be discouraged. You are a farmer, you want to be a preacher, And you are walking with the oxen. You want to walk with the spirit. You are being a natural person. You want to be a supernatural instrument in the hand of God. Go back again. Now, he said that not to discourage him, to test his conviction. Sometimes things will come that will appear to discourage you. What God wants to do and use to strengthen you, the devil uses that same thing to discourage you. Anybody could have said, all right, the man doesn't want me. And so he said, go back again. He threw the mantle on me. And as I judge his action, I see that he's a contradicting person. He contradicts himself. Why did you throw the mantle on me? Is it not that you are saying for me, to me, in pictorial language, come after me? And now I'm trying to obey that, and you say, go back. Don't follow me. You see, when you judge leaders' actions, whether the leaders are in the government or the leaders are in our great community here, or the leaders are in the church, they said this, but look at what they're doing. Don't judge. Don't judge. Are you not just a follower? Are you not asking? Are you not wanting to get to the point where the power of the highest will come upon you? Don't judge, just follow. And I pray as you follow, like Elisha followed Elijah, power will come upon your life in Jesus' name. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, and he returned back from him. And he took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instrument of the oxen and gave unto the people. This was his kind of ceremony or feast of saying bye-bye. And I burnt the instruments, and I've killed the oxen, and I've fed you with it. I'm through with that. I'm going to the next level. Somebody this morning, you are going to the next level. You say bye-bye to the past. Bye-bye to the previous life. Bye-bye to the previous ministry. I am going on. Am I talking to somebody there today? Where are you? You are going on. You'll get there in Jesus' name. And he went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Look at that. Ministered unto him. Reach his story. Later, he ministered unto Jericho. Later, he ministered unto Naaman, an officer in the army from another nation. Later, he ministered to the whole nation of Israel. You know, we don't start climbing the tree from the top. We start climbing from the bottom. The people, they're so much in a hurry. I've read about Paul, the apostle. I've read about Peter, that man walked on water. I've read how they raised the dead. Lord, I want to start now. No, we don't start climbing a tree from the highest branch. We start at the beginning. First, Elisha ministered unto him, one person. Later, he kept on pouring water in his hand. And later, he ministered to the whole of Jericho, a city. And later, to the nation. Don't look back. Don't give up. Don't get tired. You start where you are. You will go higher. Yes. You'll do greater things. Yes. And that place, the top that he wants you to reach, you will reach there eventually. Look at number two here. Number two, after burning the bridge behind, building the bridge that conveys us to future engagement. And so Elisha continued. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 11. 2 Kings 3:11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha. Elisha, your name will come up again. Amen. Say good amen. Amen. The son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. You know, when you're building a bridge, your help, your support. Building a bridge is not, you know, we don't get into conflict with people who are going to help us, who are going to support us, who are going to lift us up. The Lord had told Elijah that when you leave, you'll anoint that Elisha. He will be your successor. He will be the one to carry on the ministry after you. Now, Elijah did not tell too much of that story to Elisha. He left Elisha to figure it out, that since I throw the mantle on you, and you know that is the symbol of my ministry and the symbol of the power of God upon my life, I threw that upon you. It's not everything we say by word. Get that for yourself. Interpret that for yourself. Apply that for yourself. Appropriate that for your own life. And so he interpreted and was building the bridge. Anytime there was maybe discomfort, he brought comfort. Anytime there was discouragement, he brought encouragement. Anytime Elijah had done some work and he needed to wash his hand, he didn't, you know, say that's below my dignity. Dignity, think about that. If, you know, you cannot do this, it's too small, it's below my dignity. And then I can't do that. That one is higher than my, you know, my diligence. You can't do this as low, you can't do this as high. What are you going to do? He didn't say anything was below his dignity. He just poured water on his hand. And you know, the time will come, another person will pour water on your hand. Because you know, it is what we sow that we reap. You are sowing good in the lives of others, comfort in the lives of others, encouragement in the lives of others, and you are a source of joy unto those above you. Others will come behind you. They'll be the source of joy in your life. And so he built the bridge. He had a good attitude towards Elijah. He didn't criticize Elijah. He's a man of God. Sometimes he gets discouraged. And I'm so near him and I know him. And sometimes he can't even wash his hand with water to bring the water. No criticism. Just help. Just contribute. And the good you do will be recorded in heaven in Jesus' name. We're looking at number three here. Number three is breaking down barriers that cut many from fruitful enlistment. Breaking down all the things that bring other people, you know, just they can't understand. They are born again, and thank God, I'm sure you are born again, but you do not understand how to break down barriers. Any little thing, whenever you're unhappy, you frown. Can I tell you, Elijah never saw a frowning face on Elisha. That man knew how to break down whatever will cut him off from what God had appointed. And I pray your a frowning face will not hinder you. But attitude will not hinder you. Complain, complain, complain will not hinder you. Elijah, now all these years I've been following you now. You didn't even tell me. What did God tell you about me? What am I to do? Am I just your follower? No criticism, no complaint. And you know, criticisms and complaints, they cut us off from the people that are meant to lift us up. You'll not be cut off from the people who will lift you up in Jesus' name. Future enlistment. God has written your name, and maybe man has not written that name in a higher register. Maybe they registered you primary school. I want to go beyond that. They registered you in secondary school. I want to go beyond that. They registered you university. You want to go beyond that. God will register your name and enlist you in a higher book in heaven in Jesus' name. Look at Philippians. I'm reading Philippians chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Things that were gain to me, I counted them lost for Christ. Now, that's what life is. You see, a young man is just growing up, and he can, you know, come out, remove his shirt, and only have the boxer, that is the short knicker there, and he's playing football and shouting and all that. And that's just a young boy, and you see him growing up, and when he wants to eat, he goes to, what do they call them, a booker, just his shirt somewhere there, and he eats and, you know, drinks local gin, palm wine, whatever. All of a sudden, as he's growing up, they make him now a counselor, or they make him an officer in the land. I'm looking for the boy playing football. No, he doesn't do that anymore. Those things that gave him joy before, he shed that up. He's jettisoned that. He's cut that up. And eating by the side road and, you know, drinking with, you know, everybody else, every Dick and Harry, is called that of why? Because when you are called to a higher service, a higher level, the things that brought gain and joy before, all those things now, you count them loss for Christ. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, but it says, yea, doubtless, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. When God calls you to an excellent position, excellent ministry, excellent recognition, the things you enjoyed in the past, they just have to go. You can't do that anymore. And the things and the people you were friendly with, but they're still, you know, they're doing some things and they're on record at the police station. They're bad, bad people. Now, you're called to excellence. You don't want them to see birds of the same feather flock together, and when they see them and they see you, they think you are the same. No, you are different now. The Lord keep you different in Jesus' name. He said, "Is my Lord for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He's gone higher. That's Paul the Apostle. He said, higher, higher, higher still. Before we came for this GCK, you were saved, and I praise God for you. Sanctified, I praise God for you. Baptized in the Holy Ghost, I praise God for you. But we came here so that whatever good level you have reached, you are coming higher. I said, you are coming higher. Amen. Jesus is praying for you. Heaven is interceding for you. And the Father has a good purpose and a good plan for you. Everything God has ordained for your life will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. You are not there yet. You are not at the level, at the plateau that I'm here, I've done enough, I've got enough, I'm stopping now. You will not stop. Heaven will not allow you to stop, because there are higher heights for you to still get to. And everything that God needs to chisel out of your life so that those things will happen, they will happen in Jesus' name. Welcome to point number two. Point number two is bonding with the benefactor for his baptism from God. Bonding. As they went on, now Elijah began to tell Elisha, "Elisha, stay here. I'm going further. And where I'm going is not for inexperienced people, young people. It's not for indisciplined people. I'm going here, there." And Elisha said, "As God liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." What does that mean? As God liveth. And God never dies. He keeps on living. As God liveth, he is eternal. The conviction I have to follow your steps, I will keep on following as long as God liveth. You know, Elisha was not planning to backslide. Elisha was not planning, "After you are gone, then I'll do whatever I want to do. While you are alive, as your soul liveth, I'll keep on following you. But even after you have gone, as God liveth, I'll still keep on following." Those are the people God is looking for, and he'll take them to the highest level in Jesus' name. Look at three things here. Number one, we're looking at bonding together, whatever the cost. Number two is beating temptations, whoever the cost. Number three is bridling tongues, whenever they cross. Number one is bonding together, whatever the cause. You know the story already. What can I tell you that you didn't know before? As Elisha got to Gilgal, to Bethel, and then before he crossed over Jordan, even Jericho, there were sons of the prophets that came and said, "Do you know the Lord is going to take your master away from your head today?" They wanted him to be so sorrowful. Your companion that blesses your life is not always going to be with you. Just like the disciples of Jesus, when they heard that was going away, they were so sorrowful, no joy in their heart. They wanted Elisha to be in a state of mourning. "My master is leaving." But they didn't understand the conviction of Elisha. He had already said, "As God liveth," whether you are there or not, "God liveth is my God, my creator, my redeemer, and I mean to follow him to the end." And so when he knew about this, and all these sons of the prophets were telling him, the man is going, "What are you going to do?" He just bonded together with him, whatever the cause. While he's still here, I will listen. While he's still here, I will learn. While he's still here, I will keep on following. You will keep on following in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 23. Acts 11, 23. "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God. You cannot read the life of Elisha and not see the grace of God. That's the grace of God. When 50 sons of the prophet, when he came, do you know you're going to lose the one you love, the one you confide in, the one you trust? Even today, the Lord is going to take him away and he's not going to give you a replacement. And yet, he said, don't worry about that. I'm following. I'll keep on following. That's the grace of God. And the grace to keep on following and following, whatever the cost, the Lord gave unto you. And then he exalted them all that were purpose of heart. Purpose of heart. If you're looking for anybody that had purpose of heart, you have found Elisha. He had purpose of heart. Since I left the oxen and the instruments, since I burnt the instruments and I boiled the oxen, and since I declared to dad and mom, I'm not going to the farm anymore, I'm following after the great man of God, Elijah, he had not looked back. And you will see, he had purpose of heart. And since Elijah said, stay here, I pray thee, because the Lord hath sent me over yonder. And he said, I will not leave you. Isn't that with the purpose of heart, that they will cleave unto the Lord? That's the bond. You have to bind with somebody. You see him is consistent. You see him is moving on. You see him is going higher and higher. And you don't want to bind yourself with, you know, riffraffs. You know, some people will say, you know, this person, although he's not doing well, although they call him to the police station almost every time, and he's not being a good fellow, but you know, we've been friends from the secondary school. And I don't want to leave any friend. And this was a close friend. But my friend, this your close friend is always at the police station. Sometimes in detention. Sometimes they, you know, keep him for 2-3 nights. They're questioning him. And yet, you bind with him. You know, when that man is going down, sinking, you go down with him because that's your choice. You have to find a committed person to the Lord. Somebody who is moving higher. Somebody who is going higher. And you are bound with them in trust and faithfulness. And as they are going up, the Lord will take you up with them. They're going higher, the Lord will take you higher with them in Jesus' name. And you cleave to the Lord. You join yourself with the Lord and you're not looking back. Look at number two. Number two is beating temptations, whoever the cause. Beating temptations, whoever the cause. You know, it was a great temptation for Elisha. How is it? Every step I take and every city I get to was the man of God. There were 50 sons of the prophets on that side, and they tried to sever me, separate me, detach me from the man of God. And now we come to this new place again, and 50 of them showed up again. Do you know the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? And he answered them the same way, the same principle, the same pattern that conquered the temptation of the previous city. That same power will conquer the temptation of today. You will overcome. You will overcome. Just don't get discouraged. Why are they always coming? They're discouraging me. They are trying to put me down. They are trying to separate me. Well, you need to understand they cannot separate you. It's what you do with what they say that separates you. And once you make up your mind, whatever they say, whatever they do, I am moving on. You will move on. Heaven will supply all the energy you need. You will move on in Jesus' name. In Jeremiah chapter 35, I'm looking at verse 5. And Jeremiah said before the sons of the house of the rekaba is pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. Jeremiah was a prophet. Everybody knew him as a prophet. And a prophet set pots of wine, strong drink, before them. And said, I'm not an ordinary person. You know me, I'm a prophet. And I say unto you, drink this. You know, there are people, there are things they will not do. I'm a Christian, I will not do that. I'm a child of God, I will not do that. I've learned from my father in the Lord. I've learned from my state overseer, region overseer. I've learned from our bishop. I've learned from, you know, the clergy that this is not the will of God. But somebody else now comes and tells them, I am so and so. You know my position, and you know my popularity, and you know my prowess, you know my achievement. Do this. Oh, they would say, if an ordinary person had told me to do that, I won't do it. But how can I reject now? Am I going to say I know God more than he knows God? But the sons of the Rechabites, they didn't look at, you know, the personality of Jeremiah. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it says, but they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, your names begin the same way. You are Jeremiah, J for Jeremiah, and J for Jonadab. But Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. And he said, forever has not come, forever has not ended. And so what he told us, that we're going to keep and abide by. You've been a Christian for 15 years, for 20 years, for 30 years. Forever has not come yet. And whatever was wrong 30 years ago, 40 years ago, is still wrong now. The New Testament has not changed. And the New Testament assures us, he that doeth this shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The forever has not come. We keep to the word of God. Whoever may come our way, whatever the name, whatever the title, whatever the position. And he says, yes, I know that that is, you know, the New Testament, but I say unto you, do this. We need to, we respect people, we love people. There's a new breed of preachers coming up nowadays. And sometimes they appear on the television, sometimes they appear on social media, and they say, well, Paul said, but I say. Well, those who don't have any respect for Paul the Apostle, and they say, Brother Paul, I can't say Brother Paul, who am I? He went to the third heaven. He heard things that had never been expressed before. He saw angels and he heard the kind of revelation unsurpassed by anyone. And he has revealed that to us. And he said, God appointed him to preach the unsearchable revelation of God. Who am I? What am I? What have I done? What have I seen? That I now say, Brother Paul said, you don't say that. The man that God used to write almost the half of the New Testament, Brother Paul said, no. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, said, respect the word and respect the man that God used to give us the revelation. Anybody can come now over the social media and tell us this and tell us this, and you say, they give us liberty. And because of who they are, whatever you do, they've given license to all their hearers. You can do whatever, and they assure them because they gave that license to all the people that hear them. They have gone to heaven and they have put permanent stamp on their name, that whatever they do, everything is all right. Be very watchful, be careful, because Jesus said, there shall false prophets arise, and they will deceive many. I will not be deceived. Say it like Boko people. God bless you. You'll not be deceived in Jesus' name. And you give us the grace and the power of the Holy Ghost to beat every temptation, whoever may be the cause. Look at number three here. Number three is bridling tongues whenever they cross. There are tongues that cross away. Like those 50 prophets, sons of the prophet, tongues. And they say, do you know, the Lord is going to take your master away from you today. Bridle their tongues. Don't allow them to keep on talking and talking and talking. They'll wreck you. They ruin you. They put you down. They make you to look back. He said, hold it. Hold your peace. No conversation now. I'm looking one direction and I'm looking up and I'm going to go up. You'll go up in Jesus' name. And that's why the Lord tells us that he that claims to be religious or righteous and he does not bridle his tongue is deceiving himself. You will not deceive yourself. When whatever they say that will cross your way, that will make you get discouraged, you go back to the promise of God, and God will never fail. He never failed Abraham. He will not fail you. He never failed Moses, Joshua, David. He will not fail you. And he did not fail his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. He will never fail you. And he will fulfill all the promises he has given you. He will fulfill in Jesus' name. You are moving higher. Nothing will pull you down. We come to point number three now. Point number three, blessings for beneficiaries beyond his borders through God. Elisha eventually got the power. And I come to announce to you, you'll get the power. He says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high. The Holy Ghost will come upon your life. The Holy Ghost will dwell mightily inside you. And you remember, he said, ask. And as you ask, you receive. As you seek, you find. And as you knock, the door will be opened unto you in Jesus' name. Three things we're looking at. Look at number one. Number one, borderless blessings through the entire land. Number two, we're looking at borderless blessings farther than earlier limitations. And number three, we have breathless blessings beyond his earthly life. Well, the Lord is showing us, Elisha, these things are reaching for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come, that through the scriptures we might have hope and we have faith and confidence. One, borderless blessings throughout the entire life. As you study the life of Elisha, you'll find the blessings on and on and on. When he received the double portion in 2 Kings chapter 2, and he got to Jericho. Remember, he had passed through Jericho when going with Elijah. Coming back, River Jordan had been opened by the power residing in that mantle that belonged to him now. He crossed over. When he got to Jericho, they said, this land is good, fruitful, like the basket of the nation, food basket. Very good and very productive. But look at the water. We drink, we get sick. And look at the situation. And Elisha said, bring me a cruse of salt. And then he went to the spring, the source, and put the salt there. And the water was healed. And the water of your life healed.
Amen.
The water in your family healed.
Amen.
And the things that brought damage and death and disease in the past healed today in Jesus' name. Then he goes on. If you read his story, chapter 3, and the kings were in the battle, what were they going to do? Again, they called him. And when the damsel was singing, the Spirit of God came upon him. He prophesied, and victory came to the people that are at war. Through you, victory will come to families in conflict. Victory will come to tribes in conflict. And then we come to chapter 4. In chapter 4 again, you see this widow that came and said, my husband is gone and the creditors have come for my sons. What am I going to do? What do you have at home? The woman said nothing. Okay, I remember. I have a pot of oil. And Elisha said, go lock yourself up and borrow vessels, not a few. And when she did that and keep on pouring, supply came. Supernatural abundant supply coming upon your life in Jesus' name. But then Naaman came in chapter 5 from Syria, and the man was a leper. The king had given him a letter. He went to the king in Samaria, and so the king in Samaria said, see what this man is doing. He's looking for a quarrel. He has asked me to heal the captain of his army, having leprosy. And my God, Elisha heard about that. The problems that perplexed that king in Samaria, a solution came through Elisha. You know, as the Spirit of God comes upon you mightily, the problems that perplexes other people, solution will come through you. And Elisha said, tell him, go wash in Jordan 7 times, your flesh will come back again. The man first got angry. But you know, his anger did not cancel the prophecy proclamation of the man of God. The anger of people, when you declare the word, when you declare the proclamation, their anger will not cancel the power of God in your prophecy. And so eventually he went and he came back, and the flesh was all right. Your flesh will be all right. In chapter 6, the king of Syria, which in war against the king in Samaria. And so everything he planned, he had the gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and he had discerning of spirit. He had the gift of faith, the gift of healing. Think about that Old Testament personality. And he had the gift of working miracles, and he had the gift of prophecy. And so everything the king said in his bedchamber, Elisha knew. And he told the king, the one, the king of Syria is planning this and planning this against you. A man like that, Satan will never capture him.
Amen.
You, Satan will never capture you.
Amen.
Secret calls behind their curtain, what they are planning against your life, will never catch you in Jesus' name. And eventually, you know, the king of Syria got to know it was Elisha revealing this secret, and this, he said, go catch him. You cannot catch a man with the double portion of the Spirit. Christ lives in you. The Father lives for you. And the Holy Ghost indwells you. Enemies will never catch you. And so when those people came, the servant of Elisha said, hey, my master, Look at all of them. They've come for us and said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. But the servant did not see. Then Elisha prayed, I'm praying for you. What you never saw, you will see. And when the Lord opened the eyes of the servant of Elisha, I'm sure you know the story. Do you know the story? What did the servant see? Oh, you're Bible preachers yourself. The servant saw chariots of fire, horses of fire, all around Elisha. Let me tell you now, maybe what you didn't think about, the chariot of fire, the horses of fire that took Elijah to heaven. When the chariots dropped Elijah in heaven, the chariots came back to surround Elisha. Amen. The powers that sustained, that surrounded the great men of the past, gone. The power has not stayed in heaven. They've dropped Elijah and now they surround you. Yeah. Now they support you. No evil will come your way in Jesus' name. Yeah. You'll be more than a conqueror. Yeah. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And yours is the privilege today. Ask what the Lord will do. He will do it for you. You will not remain at this low level anymore. You will not remain at even this high level you are now anymore. Higher? A good amen? Greater? A great amen? Like God used Elisha, the Lord will use you. And look at number two here. Number two is the borderless blessings farther than earthly limitations. Earthly limitations. No limitation in his life. As you come deeper, higher, closer to the Lord today, all the limitations of your life, they are canceled in Jesus' name. I cannot cancel that from your dictionary. Others may, but I will not. That one, that's your decision. They are the lower level and low level people. There are things they do. You are higher than that now. You will not. But to say, I cannot pray, I cannot work miracles, I cannot evangelize, I cannot do wonders, we cancel that one. You can. You can. You can. The power of the Lord will multiply, increase in your life in Jesus' name. Jesus said in John 14:12, he says, he that believeth in me, and you are the one, the works I do, he shall do. You are the one. Brother, I said you are the one. Sister, my daughter, I said you are the one. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. We're looking at number three here. Number three, breathless blessings beyond his earthly life. Now, as we conclude the story of Elisha, eventually Elisha died, but his ministry did not die. Your influence will not die. The power of God in your life will not die. Your remembrance will not be cut off. And so when Elisha died, you can read everything yourself. It's in 2 Kings chapter 13. Elisha died, they buried him. But the way they buried at that time is different from the way, you know, people are buried today. The way they buried at that time, they just dug the hole there and then they put the dead body. They might put a plank or whatever on that so that some people will not fall into that. And another person died, and they were taking that dead person to bury the dead person. Then they saw some unfriendly people that were coming at them. They were afraid, so they dropped that dead man in the grave of Elisha. And that dead man touching the bone of Elisha, that man rose up. That's all the amen you have. And you know what? Anytime I read that, I said, anytime a person like Elisha, having the double portion in his life, is gone to heaven after he died, but even his bones, the recipient of the Holy Ghost, still had Holy Ghost power in his bone. And when that dead man touched the dead bone of Elisha, rose up. And you know, sometimes when I don't normally shake too many hands, the reason is because people have a way of shaking your hand that eventually when you shake 100 people, they create pain in your wrist. But when I know that this one is a simple fellow, it's not going to hurt your fist, and then I stretch out my hand and I say, shake my hand. What I believe is, if the dead bone of Elisha can raise the dead, I'm not dead yet, I'm still alive. And my handshake will drive every sickness out of your body. And I pass that anointing to you. You are anointed in Jesus' name. Your interaction with people will no more be ordinary, will be extraordinary. And any touch, what your hand will touch, if they were dead, will come alive. Amen. Your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband, they'll come alive. Amen. Your business will come alive. Amen. Your ministry will come alive. Amen. Remember, ask. That is what Elisha had. And it comes to you now, ask. It shall be given unto you. Amen. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock and tell me, the door will be open. There's no closed door before you that will not be open. As I come to the conclusion, ask, what's the first letter in the word ask? Seek, what's the first letter in seek? Knock, what's the first letter in knock? A-S-K, everything ask. You have received. Amen. You have received. Amen. You will no more be like you were in the past. Amen. New power upon your life. Amen. And every prophecy that has come out today, everything is for you. Amen. You are stronger than you were yesterday. Amen. Higher than you were yesterday. Amen. And every hindrance in your life, cut off. In Jesus' name, rise up and ask. Rise up and ask. Ask, seek, knock. I give you the chance, open your mouth. Elijah did not say, I will ask for you. Elijah said, Elisha, ask. You got it today. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more regret, and no more pining. I don't have this, I don't have this. Now you have all things. Ask, you will receive.
You came.